In some churches, you'll never hear the message I'm going to preach today. A message about the final judgment to hell of people who have died but have not trusted Christ alone to be their Savior. Why? Why won't some churches preach about judgment to hell of people who have chosen not to trust in Christ alone to be saved? One reason being that people think this is so narrow-minded. How much broader it is to say that every path leads to heaven. As long as you live a good life, try to be nice and help people in need. Wouldn't that sound broader? Everybody can go to heaven. Wouldn't that be great? Some people think this way. As a result, they don't preach, they don't teach about God's judgment and about hell. Another reason being that the church doesn't want to offend people. Being afraid that if we preach them about hell, they don't accept that as true, and they'll leave the church. What's the problem with this approach? The problem with this approach is that people have become God. People set the standard of even how they can go to heaven. People's way to get to heaven. People want to make other people happy. People want to please people. And they are afraid of people. But they have displeased God. And they have shown that they are not afraid of God, but they are afraid of people. Who should we be afraid of? But the fact is that we are not God. We are just created by God. And our way of trying to be good and nice cannot get us to heaven. Although it might benefit us in this life, but that's only temporary. You don't even know if tomorrow you will live or die. Only God knows. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says that we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But that will not get us to heaven, to God's way. God is the only one we should please and be afraid of instead of man. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. God is the one that we should be afraid of because he is the judge. He is the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. There was a wise emperor in ancient China during the Tang Dynasty. He was a good emperor and his name is Li Shiming. Okay? Shi Ming Li. He appreciated an official of his name is Wei Zhen in Mandarin, or Zhen Wei. Zhen will often point out the emperor's mistakes or potential disastrous decisions before the emperor made them. The emperor sometimes was mad at him, always pointing out his mistakes, confronting him. But this helped the emperor, saving him from many unnecessary disasters in his dynasty. And then Jane, the government official, died, and the emperor was so sad. He said Jane was like a mirror who never deceived him and who let him see his true self and what is right and what is wrong. Do you have such a mirror in your life? Do you have such a friend, true friend, who does not deceive you but tell you the truth? What you have done wrong, what is right, you'll be encouraged, but often you'll be willing to point out your mistakes so they will not make it before you make the decision. You know what? We all have such a mirror, even if you don't have such a friend. Because God's word is like a mirror that does not deceive. And let us see our true self, let us see what is right, what is wrong, and save us from God's judgment of our sins in the future. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says that, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, for He created them. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." This is God. We all need to give account to what we do in the future to God. And God's word will help us to know what is right, do it. What is wrong, don't do it. So even if you don't like what I'm going to preach today, to be loyal to God's word, I have to preach it. I pray that even if you don't like it, the Holy Spirit will convict you through His Holy Spirit that you need to trust in God's word. Today we'll see the final judgment of the returning King Jesus Christ. The second part, today we'll learn about the judgment of non-believers to hell. We'll learn three things from Revelation chapter 20. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to verse 15. The first thing that we will learn is that don't hold on to this world. You should not hold on to what is in this world. Let's look at the Bible verse. Verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them." From this verse, we have seen that the great white throne, is it on earth? Is it in heaven? Neither. So the great white throne is neither in heaven nor on earth, but it is in space. It's suggested by the statement, "Earth and sky fled from His presence." This would be what John the Apostle saw, the great white throne, and Him who was seated on it. Do you know who is seated on the great white throne? Jeff? Jesse?
The Lord.
The Lord? Who is the Lord?
Jesus.
Yes, good answer. According to John chapter 5, verse 22, it says that, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son," who is Jesus. Jesus Christ will be the judge on this throne as well, to judge all the non-believers. Many people try to conserve the environment, that is all good. They try to make the world a better place, that is good. I admire them. But the earth and the heaven that we see now will be destroyed, according to the Bible. And this is confirmed by the opening statement of Revelation 21, what we will study later. If you just open your Bible to chapter 20, and then in the beginning of 21, it says that the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So what we see now today will all be destroyed, will all pass away. It is good that we try to do everything to make this world a better place. The environment, the technology, what is outside. But what has ended up? Although we try our best to make the earth a better place for people to live, the earth actually has become a worse place. Despite the advanced technologies that we have, see what is happening on earth. Ozone, a big hole there, pollution everywhere, people are trying to drill holes on the ground to get the oil out, and as a result, I think part of the earth would collapse very soon. Why? Why, despite our efforts to try to make it a better world, it's getting worse? It is because of the human greed. The human greed tried to exploit exploit the natural resources to try to get as much as they can without thinking about the long-term consequences and impact to planet Earth. As a result, we get what we see today. And this is not going to get better. I think it's going to get worse because of the human greed that also caused the problem in the economy today. So because of the corrupt state of the human heart, we won't be able to build a perfect world here by our power. We have learned that Jesus Christ will come back and he will establish 1,000 years of his kingdom on earth, and that will be a perfect kingdom in the environment, in the law. Although even during that 1,000 years, some people will choose to rebel against Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, in their heart. That's why at the end of that 1,000 years, there was a rebellion. And these people would be deceived by Satan, would be released from the prison. So even that 1,000 years of perfect kingdom on earth is not permanent. So what should we learn from this fact, this revelation from the Bible? That we should not focus on building what is outside, that will be destroyed. But we should focus on building what is inside our hearts. God will keep us accountable of what is in our heart and what will come out of our hearts. Let's build our hearts for our future permanent residence in the new heaven and new earth that we will learn later, that God would build later. That will be an eternal perfect world. So don't focus on this world. Don't try to build what is outside in this world. Try to change your heart. Don't hold on to this world. Second, watch everything we do. Verse 12 says that, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened." As we learned before from Revelation, the same chapter, verse 5 to verse 6, let me read it. "The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years." Here, while we are reading this verse, the 1,000 years has already ended. The dead John, the apostle, now sees are those who did not take part in the first resurrection. Those who take part in the first resurrection are blessed, including all believers in Jesus Christ. They will be part of the first resurrection. When I ask you who will be part of the resurrection, when I was preaching through that particular passage, nobody put up their hands. Actually, if you truly have trusted Christ alone to be saved, you can be sure that you're going to heaven. You have eternal life. And what it means is that you will be part of the first resurrection even before Jesus Christ comes back to establish the 1,000 years. Even before the 7 years of disasters on earth called the tribulation. Because we will be raptured, remember? Be caught up into the air to meet with Jesus Christ, and we will have a new resurrection body. So who are the people that John the Apostle sees here? "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne." Who are these people? These are the people who have not trusted Jesus Christ to be saved in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, they have not trusted God to be saved by following God's law, because they trust God, try to follow God's will in the Old Testament. And these people who do not trust God, they will be judged. Verse 12 continues. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book. All these books. And then in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead. The sea gave up the dead. What does that mean? Here is referring to the disintegrated remains of the dead bodies, even in the ocean, even in the sea. Some people died on Titanic, and their bodies sank to the bottom of the ocean. Their body would decay very quickly on the bottom of the ocean. But you know what? These bodies will be brought back to life. And death, this talks about remains of the body, dead bodies on earth. Even if it's disintegrated, even if you cannot even see the bones, God will resurrect these disintegrated bodies. And Hades, death and Hades gave up the dead. What does Hades mean? Hades is a place where non-Christians, non-believers of God, after they have died, that's where they will go, where their spirit will go. Where will the spirit of believers go after they have died? If I die, you die today as a believer of Jesus Christ. Where will my spirit go? You know, my body will just collapse and I'm not here in a coffin, in a casket. But where will my spirit go, you know? There were two thieves being crucified with Jesus. One of the thieves believed in Jesus Christ alone to be saved. And what did Jesus say? Tonight, where would you go? Paradise. He says, paradise. It is not the ultimate new heaven and new earth yet. So when we believers die, our spirit will immediately go to the paradise. It is like a, if there's a 6-star hotel, okay? There will be like a 6-star hotel where we can see Jesus face to face, and all the spirit of all the saints. We can even see Moses, Abraham, and all those people we want to know more about. We can see them face to face. We'll be waiting there for Jesus to come back to have us resurrected, giving us a new body. And then the 7 years of disasters, at the end, these resurrected believers will rule with Jesus for 1,000 years, and then in eternity. For those people who have died without trusting Christ alone, they will go to a place called Hades. It's a very dark, uncomfortable place. It's like a prison cell, but for many, many non-believer spirits, they will wait for this resurrection. Their dead body, disintegrated, will be revived to join with their spirits that are in Hades. And then they'll be judged by God. That's what the Bible says. So whoever doesn't trust in Christ alone to be saved will be judged according to what he had done in his life. Here it says that each person was judged according to what he had done. What does it say? What it's saying is that God records everything we think, we say, and that we do in His books. Here it says books. I believe using modern technology, it will be some type of camcorder, even digital camcorder, that has unlimited capacity, and there will not be power outage, and it will be recording every single thought, words that we have said, and what we have done. And on that day when God judges us, we will have no excuse or deceiving God, saying that I didn't do that, I didn't do this, because God will show the video and you'll see that you have no excuse to say that I haven't done that. And all those people who have not trusted Christ alone to be saved, they will be judged. But you say, we are Christians, we are believers, and this judgment is for the non-Christians, non-believers. If you remember, we have also learned that after the rapture of New Testament believers, before the 7 years of huge disasters on earth, immediately after our bodies are raptured, with the resurrection body, we will face the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's the judgment of believers of Jesus Christ and believers of God. And when they are judged, it's not a matter of going to heaven or hell, because by God's grace, it's a gift, free gift from God through Jesus Christ. If you trust in Christ alone to be saved, you will go to heaven for sure. But the judgment result is that those who are not faithful, those believers who do not obey God's word in the Bible, they will not get a reward to rule with Jesus during the 1,000 years of his kingdom on earth and later in eternity. So this also applies to us. God is also recording everything that we think, we say, and we do.